and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's ordered the attorney general to seek the release of a portion of grand jury testimony in the Jeffrey Epstein case. CBS's Natalie Brand.
Ultimately, it's up to a judge to make the final decision here, and it could take some time, months even.
Lawmakers in the House voted just past midnight to send a bill cutting more than $9 billion in funding for foreign aid and public broadcasting to the president's desk. Speaker Mike Johnson.
We clawed back $9 billion in taxpayer funds and wasteful spending.
New Mexico Democrat Teresa Ledger Fernandez.
Our public radio and TV, our work across the globe for public health and peace are what is the best of America.
A shocking announcement from Stephen Colbert last night.
Next year will be our last season. The network will be ending The Late Show in May.
CBS says the decision was purely financial. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin grows more cranberries than anywhere else in the U.S., producing over 60% of the nation's supply. Do you know why that is? Central Wisconsin is cranberry country, where once an ancient lake covered the very heart of the state. Mary Brazu Brown of Glacial Lake Cranberries in Wisconsin Rapids showed me the low-lying area on a topographic map.
Here we are right in the middle of the state, but you can see that this area, pretty well defined, was old Glacial Lake, Wisconsin.
The Glacial Lake was about 150 feet deep during the last glacial period. Brazu Brown explained the lake formed when the Wisconsin River was dammed up by rock and rubble near what is now Wisconsin Dells.
As these waters had melted, all of this water was being held back by the Baraboo Range, which, according to their historical marker, is among the oldest visible physical features on Earth.
Wow.
Let that sink in for a minute.
Baraboo quartzite formations date back approximately 1.6 to 1.7 billion years ago, landing the formation in the top five oldest visible features, along with locations in Canada, Australia, and South Africa. Brazu Brown explained how the violent release of this glacial lake not only carved out the dells, but also created the perfect cranberry growing conditions.
But after the lake drained, what was left was this area that very flat, high water table, acid conditions, lots of sand, because it was the bottom of a lake.
In the late 1800s, property owners in the area soon gave up trying to drain a swamp, instead choosing to cultivate the native cranberries they found growing wild.
Now this township is made up of 14 cranberry growers. Most of the marshes are over 100 years old.
Glacial Lake Cranberries continues the practice of sustainable agriculture. This fall will mark the 152nd commercial cranberry harvest on their marshes. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers begin a West Coast trip in L.A. against the Dodgers. Quinn Priester, the 24-year-old right-hander from Glendale Heights, Illinois, will start the first game of the second half of the Brewers season tonight and was asked how he can set the tone heading into the series.
What I hope to do and hope to show through what I'm doing is just five, six-plus innings. It's my job to put up zeros and keep us in the game and just do the best that I can.
NFL, the Packers training camp begins next Wednesday with practices nearly every morning at 10:30 a.m. Quarterbacks and rookies reporting today, including first-round pick Matthew Golden, on what the Packers can expect from their rookie wide receiver in camp.
No, that's something they can expect out of me as a hard worker. You know, I'm committed to the process, but you know, I'm a dog and I'm a competitor. Each day I'm trying to get better and just perfect my craft. I'm bringing that dog mentality.
That's the Packers' Matthew Golden with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A gorgeous looking Friday with plenty of sunshine. Great day to be outside with highs in the mid-70s. For tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms developing mainly after midnight, lows in the lower 60s. A lingering shower or storm Saturday morning, otherwise partly sunny, highs in the upper 70s. Right now, it's 50 degrees.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, day number 3 of our road trip in northern Wisconsin. We're broadcasting live from the lot in Hayward. We're going to be joined by Mark Lundeen from WBZH in Hayward.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Friday morning, July 18th. Parker Olson is our producer down in Madison Studio A2. And coming up will be our Friday Weekend Review panel with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We'll also talk to journalist Mark Jacob and Jennifer Scholze about the things they've been writing about. I will beg them to find us something to talk about besides the Epstein files. Never wanted to talk about them this much. Just wasn't expecting Donald Trump to throw his supporters under the bus and do so. But there are definitely other things that have happened beyond the Epstein files, and we'll talk about that. We will get back into something we touched on last hour, which is CBS deciding to cancel the Stephen Colbert Late Show. Cancel the franchise entirely as part of a corporate cave-in. So I know our panel will have some thoughts to say about that. In our 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lierley. We will have Mike Clemens with sports and so much more coming up. Now, as we let you know yesterday, Brittany Merlot is off today. She is on her way to the EAA in Oshkosh. She is a huge EAA fan and is going to be camping out there throughout the course of the week. So I can tell you that from the folks at the National Weather Service tell us that we are expecting a partly sunny day across Wisconsin today. High temperatures in the 70s. But then there will be periodic showers and storms at any point from tonight into Monday. Depending on where you are, there's a chance that that will come through and that some of the rain could be heavy. So you want to pay attention to your local forecast here on these Civic Media radio stations. So highs will be in the mid-70s, even the mid-80s in some spots. Low temperatures will range in the mid-50s to the mid-60s. Now, how would you like to win some Brewers tickets? Because it is Free Ticket Friday. And we're here again on a summertime Friday doing our Free Ticket Friday. Four tickets to see a specific game, and you have to send us a specific keyword using the Civic Media app. You go to the app, you go to one of the stations, it gives you all these options like a voice note or a text, and text us from one of those and text us the keyword for this morning. And you've got till 9 o'clock, till the end of the show, and then there will be other opportunities to win on shows throughout the rest of this Free Ticket Friday here on the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, Pat, give them the word already. It's throw. THROW. And again, you got to spell it correctly. No other punctuation or anything else. Just throw. Text it and you'll be entered into this statewide drawing to have four tickets won to see the Brewers-Cubs game next Monday, July 28th. So a week from this coming Monday. Monday, July 28th, a Brewers-Cubs game. Free tickets at the club level. Somebody's going to win these. It may as well be you if you can go to the game. If you can take the electronic tickets, then text us THROW, THROW, before 9 o'clock and listen throughout the day for your chance to win. So the Brewers are, in fact, getting back in action after the All-Star break. They're out on the West Coast, so we've got some late-night baseball coming up for the next couple of nights here. Brewers and Dodgers, the pregame tonight starts at 8:35. And then tomorrow night at 7:35, And then Sunday afternoon at 2:35. So those are your radio times for the Brewers-Dodgers series. And then the Brewers head up the coast to Seattle. They will be in Seattle next week, Monday and Tuesday nights, and Wednesday afternoon. Then next week, Thursday, they're off before beginning a homestand with the weekend series against the Florida Marlins, starting a week from tonight, or a week from this afternoon, rather. And then, again, as mentioned, the Cubs come into town starting that Monday, the 28th. So a lot of action coming up for the Brewers now that the All-Star break is wrapping up. Again, with Brittany Merlot not here, let's go into the other thing that I would normally do at about this time, and that's get to the mailbag, folks that have sent things in here. This one from on the text line from Jim in Brookfield. Pat, despite all of the bad news, you made me laugh out loud. Yes, I can only hope Trump's presidential library is shaped like a big golden toilet. We all need a bit of a sense of humor in these trying times. Thank you, Jim. I do my best. Let's see. I am absolutely certain that Robin Tigerton is wishing us a good morning somewhere. Here it is on YouTube. Good morning from Tigerton. Sunny and 51 degrees. Today I've got 3 yards to mow in the rural areas of Tigerton. Yesterday was a really beautiful day, he writes. The skies had a true blue, and it felt fall comfortable outside. He says, I had to get my eyes checked in Wittenberg. I have reading glasses. They put drops in my eye, and I had to wear sunglasses outside. And then I love the sometimes we get things without context. People react in the moment. So I don't know that Alicia was reacting to what Rob wrote or something that she heard on the radio, but I'm going to put them together. So when Rob says, I had to put sunglasses on after they put drops in my eye and when I headed outside, the next comment is Alicia going, no, which might be for Rob or it might be for something they said. I don't know. Anyway, you can, and Roger from Stevens Point writes to us about Trump's use of, I kept using the word leverage, in pressuring the media and in pressuring universities. And Roger corrects me properly, says, I call that extortion. He loves free money. All very true. And you can, of course, be part of all this by heading to Facebook or YouTube and putting some comments there. What did I miss, Parker? Was it the Bob Uecker thing to introduce Free Ticket Friday?
Well, there is also that. We do have this interview with Robin Vining coming up.
Oh, we do, don't we? Yes. Because she is going to be running for a seat in the state Senate here. And shame on me for not putting the start time on that clip so that I would stop yapping in time to do that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cheat our Friday panel a little bit, and we'll start that at 7:20 so that we can hear State Representative Robin Vining talking about running for state Senate. But I see Mark Jacob is standing by now, and I see Jim Santel are standing by right now. So if they don't mind, I'm going to pop them up and apologize for keeping my eye off the clock over there. Mark Jacob, good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
All right. Sounds good. Jim, yourself?
I'm doing superbly in summertime of 2025 in America. So that's conditioned, is it not?
Right? At least you know where you are.
That is the most conditional I'm doing okay, yes, that I've ever seen. So anyway, folks, we'll take a break at 7:20 as we always do, and we'll play a little bit from State Representative Robin Vining. But Jim, I said to you during the news, I said, please give me anything to talk about other than the Epstein files, because look, it was a big story this week. Because of the way Trump did this about face and yada, yada, yada. We covered all that. Jim, what else are you following this week that we can maybe hear on Amicus, a Law Review coming up this weekend on the Civic Media Radio Network?
We're going to be talking about some things going on beyond Washington, D.C., and some interesting litigation out there in the federal courts, but also Department of Justice. Maybe we'll chat about that this morning as well, Pat. Lots of people, huge numbers of lawyers leaving. These are the litigators. These are the tenured people. Lots of firings going on, both in U.S. attorneys' offices and there as well. And yes, indeed, we've got more birthright citizenship, believe it or not. That has not yet been resolved, of course. So lots of things to talk about on Saturday.
Again, I just don't understand how this birthright citizenship is a thing. And in fact, let me ask you this. Make the case that birthright citizenship, is it just that it's, was something not explicitly mentioned in the Constitution and it's subject to interpretation?
Right. So there's this small phrase, subject to the jurisdiction thereof is in the second line of the 14th Amendment, and it has been interpreted routinely as not being what the president says it does. He seizes on that and says, well, gee, if you were born of a mother who wasn't properly here, legally here, she was temporarily here, then we don't have jurisdiction over you, and therefore you're not a citizen. That's absurd, and it has been rejected previously by the Supreme Court, by everybody else who's looked at it recently in the past, and it is simply not consistent with any rational interpretation. But again, high marks, which is something I very rarely do for this group, to come up with, again, the latest crazy theory to get us all wound up about something that should not be a thing. If you're born here, you're a citizen. Let's all say that together, right? And hopefully that will waft over to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and probably not get in anybody's ear. But still, it's nice to say out loud because it is what the truth is. It's what the law is.
Well, and you notice sometimes the waffling on the part of the media, which takes us to Jennifer Schulze, who's here as well. Jennifer, good morning. I apologize. As I said, we were going to pop you up early because we've got a little tape to play coming up after the commercial break here. So let's just give a little tease of your newsletter on Substack. Look up News Jennifer. And it says the latest edition's called The $16 Million Edit, Paramount's Capitulation to Trump. We covered a little bit in the last hour. But again, it appears clear that CBS Paramount is doing this not because there was anything wrong with their 60 Minutes piece, but it's all corporate game playing basically, and it's a real kick in the pants to, you know, journalism everywhere, Jennifer. Oh, let me get you unmuted there. There you go. Sorry, go ahead.
I think the bottom line is that Donald Trump is running that company. I mean, look at what happened with Stephen Colbert. He says he doesn't like the way something is edited. They write him a $16 million check. There's no basis in, there are no issues there, no real issues, except we want to do whatever he tells us to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Mark Jacob has his new newsletter, Stop the Presses, at stopthepresses.news or through Courier Newsroom. And one of the latest issues is called Five Scenarios for Staving Off a Dictatorship. Well, Mark, where were you when we needed you? I mean, can we do any of these things now?
Well, I mean, the best chance would have been last November. But here you have The Trump's in control of, you know, the White House, the Congress, and the Supreme Court, you know, does that leave? Leaves people power. It leaves the people getting out in the streets and leaves them reaching out to their lawmakers. And on many issues, you see Trump's numbers going down. I mean, even on immigration, he's underwater. So it's not that he's popular. It's that he has managed to seize control by, you know, a cowardly Congress and, illegitimate Supreme Court. So, but there's, the people are still to be heard. I mean, you can't, you know, we can fight back is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And so there's that. Can you tease us with any one of the five scenarios?
Well, the first scenario is that the midterms actually happen and that the Democrats win them and start clawing things back, get the House at least and probably not the Senate, but maybe. I mean, the other scenarios are kind of unlikely, which is that Trump's administration collapses of its own incompetence, or that the Supreme Court grows a spine, or that Congress grows a spine. I mean, the only thing about Congress growing a spine is that the Republican lawmakers are essentially weak and cowardly people, you know, so they've been to Trump. So if public opinion becomes so strong, they will bend to the public opinion.
Yeah. So there's Mark Jacob. You get his newsletter, Stop the Presses, at stopthepresses.news. And Jennifer Schulze's Indistinct Chatter is on Substack. And of course, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel has Amicus, a law review that you can hear on Saturday mornings live from 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network. And then it's played back on Sunday mornings as well. Now, coming up next for some of you will be a local update across the network. And others will stick around here as we continue to visit with our Week in Review panel. And then when we're all back together in about 15 minutes here, we will first play an interview from State Representative Robin Vining, who announced late yesterday that she's running for a seat in the state Senate. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this July 17th, 2025. Have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our good friend, Matt Lippert, Ag Agent with UW Extension Wood County. We appreciate you being here, Matt. Always a great time being able to talk with you, catch up on the ag industry and some of the news going on over there. Got a couple of things we're going to get into when we have a chance. If you don't mind, I would like to start with the so most know right now that there's a mandatory milk testing going on for our dairy farmers involving the avian flu. And a recent farmer survey suggested a potential slowdown in dairy and farm losses possible. I don't know how much you want to touch on that or how much you even can, Matt. I don't want to throw that at you. But I was really curious about this process and how the milk is tested and what it is from the farmer's perspective on this.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, milk is just about everybody, at least at some point of their life, drinks milk. And then they eat other dairy products, you know, a very high percentage of the population. And so it's important that people would be confident in the milk supply. And I think the dairy industry gets it out that there's abundant reason to be confident, but it's so important to people's life, I don't know if people realize. So every load of milk that leaves the farm is tested. Now, the farmer may be doing some on-farm things for their own management, but every load is tested by whoever accepts that milk. So in Wisconsin, a lot of it is cheese plants. So the classic ones are farmers get paid on the butterfat and protein content in their milk. They get monitored for the bacteria count. Milk would grow bacteria. It's such a good food source that it really would grow things.
Yeah.
And so every load is measured for that. And then the one that people don't realize is that because a lot of people buy organic and they're concerned about antibiotic residues, but every load of milk is tested for antibiotics. And it's a very severe penalty on the farm if they put milk out that had antibiotics in. So the actual, it's like under 0.01%. It's like 3 more zeros after that of milk that actually is. Okay, so this bird flu test is just an addition to that. And I think the thing that's interesting, again, it's not happening on the farm, is Wisconsin is the second largest dairy state in the country, and we have not had any bird flu detected in our milk. And I think there is this bias. Well, it's because we're not testing for it. I think farmers even believe that. It's like, once we start testing for it, it's going to show up. But that's not been the case. I don't know. We could go quite at length why that may be, but Wisconsin has, we've had bird flu in poultry, but not in dairy cattle in our state.
Yeah, and being blunt, and again, just reading from the articles that I've read, I don't actually know anything. I'm just reading what I, going off of what I've read and the research and everything. I feel like we would know. If it was, there's some pretty heavy results from this when you catch bird flu and some of these things from avian flu, from what I'm seeing at least.
Yeah, so I think the testing when this broke when it crossed species into cattle, it happened in the panhandle of Texas, which there's a number of very large dairies there, and it was very. The penalty really was the farmers. They had very sick cows. They lost milk. The cows weren't going to recover. And so there is, we call it zoonosis, zoonotic disease, if something transfers from an animal to humans. And there were people milking cows that got irritated eyes. So there was actually splash of bacteria-laden milk when you're force dripping the milk to make sure that cow's milk is healthy, it would directly in contact people's eyes.
Oh,
so we've had very little, very very little of a consumer or even on the farm other types. Now the concern is this stuff could mutate. It could, and I think I said bacteria, but viral, but. So there has been potentially some respiratory conditions, but for the most part, there's been very little human transfer. So actually, a lot of the testing, and then the other thing was milk is pasteurized. So there's a lot of safety steps that go in.
Yeah.
So the largest implication for farmers is that it can be really hard on their cows. You know, so it's kind of internal industry.
Yeah.
Concern.
Yeah. Interesting. And thank you so much for that breakdown, Matt. I really do appreciate that. There was a lot there that I haven't found in articles or anything, so I appreciate you sharing that. And just something that we're certainly going to keep an eye on. I think for most part, most people are in agreement with, hey, better safe than sorry with most things, but there is a line in the sand for that, I think also. So getting that information, talking about that, I think is where we go, what we do around here. I appreciate that. One other article I came across that I wanted to get into with you, and I got this from a Wisconsin Ag Connection. You can find it yourself there, wisconsinagconnection.com. According to the USDA's National Ag Stats, Wisconsin had an average of 4.6 days suitable for field work during the week ending the previous week. So rainfall across the parts of the state caused delays for some things, but we are seeing some increases. We're seeing some positives here when it comes to Wisconsin crop conditions remaining mostly strong in July. Is that what you're hearing from your colleagues and others?
So as an extension educator, I'm one of the reporters in that system. So once a week I get the question.
I was wondering.
What is the status of the corn? Poor, fair, excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get asked about corn, soybeans, wheat, oats, pasture, hay, potatoes, which I don't respond because I don't work with potatoes. But we have pretty good crops this year. And when I get asked this from other people, I say, well, compared to last year, because we, I have difficulty getting to Wisconsin Rapids these days because I live in Pittsville. Mm-hmm.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The clock keeps ticking, and escalated tariffs against two of our major trade partners, Canada and Mexico, weigh heavy on the dairy trade. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Matt Tranel says losing Mexico as a buyer of our U.S. dairy products would be a major blow to the marketplace.
Specifically, Mexico's been buying a third to 40% of all of our cheese exports. That we've been seeing. And like we mentioned in May, it was a record, and year to date, we're up like 7%. So Mexico would be catastrophic, as they are our biggest buyer. Canada would also be tough. I mean, they do protect their dairy industry a little bit closer, but specifically butter exports to Canada would be a huge problem.
Matt Tranel, dairy analyst with EverAg out of Platteville, explaining why Mexico and Canada are such critical dairy trade partners with the U.S. and Wisconsin specifically. How are the markets doing in overnight electronic trade? I've got your numbers next.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
On Thursday, the barrel cheese remained unchanged in Chicago at 165. 40-pound block cheese gained a penny and a half to 164. AA butter stood still, 253 a pound. This morning in overnight activity, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up about 50 points right now. Currently, our September corn is up a nickel. December new crop up a nickel at 427. August soybeans are up 13. November new crop up 13 at 1039. September wheat's 4 cents higher at 537. December up 4, 558. The August class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 23 cents now, 1795. September currently trading 7 cents higher at 1834 a hundredweight. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Friday trade session. Sign up for our daily e-newsletter. You won't miss a thing. MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A gorgeous looking Friday with plenty of sunshine. Great day to be outside with highs in the mid-70s. For tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms developing mainly after midnight, lows in the lower 60s. A lingering shower or storm Saturday morning, otherwise partly sunny, highs in the upper 70s. Right now, it's 47.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication.
Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Hank Scott, the owner of 12 Tribe Cigars, who joins me in studio. And Terry Barr drops by for Bar Band Friday night. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
We are going to have more with our Week in Review panel. Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze, Jim Santel coming up in about 10 minutes. First, a little bit of housekeeping in our daily newsletter. You can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. We run down this weekend's county fairs. There's at least 8 of them going on around the state, and talk a bit about ways that you can spend your summer weekend here in Wisconsin over the next couple of days. On our website right now is my latest article on the aftermath of the state budget. The headline is, "It's what's not in the state budget that is generating both anger and 2026 candidates." You'll recall that we had a little news yesterday when child care provider Corrine Hendrickson said she is exploring a run for legislature and is closing up her child care center. By the way, you can read more about that and all of the newsmakers we've had on the show this week by signing up for our Sunday morning newsletter, again, upnorthnewswi.com, and subscribe there. But again, there's already a candidate in that race. State Representative Jenna Jacobson is running in the 17th Senate District against Howard Markline, who is the one of the co-chairs of the Joint Finance Committee. But she's not the only state representative, Jenna Jacobson, who's running for a state Senate seat. Yesterday, State Representative Robin Vining from Wauwatosa announced that she wants to run in the state Senate district there, which is currently represented by a Republican from the Brookfield area. And so I talked to Robin Vining just moments before her official announcement that she made yesterday afternoon.
Well, I'm excited to announce that I'm running for the 5th Senate District. We're going to flip the 5th Senate District and gain control for the Democrats in the Wisconsin State Senate.
Well, the 5th District is currently represented by Rob Hutton of the Brookfield area. A lot of folks still associate Waukesha County and some of the near suburbs of Milwaukee as some kind of deep red territory, and you have proven a couple of times already that is not necessarily the case.
That's true. I mean, and I also wouldn't have won in 2018 if independents and Republicans and Democrats hadn't voted for me. So I think we have more common ground than just your typical ideologies of your two major political parties. And it's been really fun to get to know people out in Waukesha County and find that common ground.
Let's go back a step, because we're going to talk about Senator Hutton and his opposition to the budget in just a sec. But we need to set that by asking what your decision making process was and how you ultimately voted on the state budget.
Well, first of all, I didn't have a single constituent contact me in support of the state budget. So not one. And I had spent the last 6 months since January hearing from constituents on the issues that they care about. And the top issues that they care about is fully funding the public schools, affordable, accessible health care, making sure that we have a child care infrastructure, early childhood education that meets the needs of my constituents. Those would be like really top key issues. The UW system, we need to fund the UW. It's a 23-to-1 ROI. It's with the strongest ROI in the budget. If not the strongest, it's at the top. And so I know that the support for fully funding the public schools, early childhood education, our child care, and the UW system is at the top of the list, as well as affordable health care. So it was not hard to know where my constituents stood after listening to them for 6 months. Yeah.
And yet in this district that you want to run in, you have a senator, a Republican senator, who voted no and essentially is taking the polar opposite position that the bill is doing too much already for people. Definitely not the impression you got from that state budget bill.
We both voted against the budget, but for completely different reasons, from my understanding. I want to see a 90% special education reimbursement rate. I want to see the schools fully funded. I don't want to see us continuing this cycle of school referendums across the state in red districts and blue districts. I went and did the work to find out that 96 of the 99 state representatives, they had referendums in their school referendums in their districts in just 2024 and 2025. 96 out of 99 representatives. And this budget that was put before us is going to perpetuate a cycle of referendums that's raising property taxes in an already unaffordable housing situation. So, that's how I approach it. I can't speak for the senator, but when I look at the school funding, when I look at housing costs, when I look at people's concerns about their taxes, my vote was related to those things.
Tell us more about what prompted your run for state senate in terms of what you would like to do, what you've done in the assembly, and what you'd like to take over to the state senate if you were to win next year.
Sure. So no surprise, I want to fully fund the public schools. I want to make sure that we are fighting for affordable health care. I want to treat childcare as early childhood education and honor those early childhood educators. I want to treat childcare as the infrastructure that it is. I want to make sure that it's quality and affordable. I want to end gun violence. I want to treat violence against women and kids with the severity and the urgency that it deserves. I want to combat climate change. And I'm a small business owner. I created my own small business from scratch. I want to support small businesses. 99% of Wisconsin businesses are small businesses. And I want to be a better support to small businesses across the state of Wisconsin. So if we have control in the Wisconsin state legislature, that's a good, quick list of things that I want to tackle.
Give folks a quick biography of what you are. You talked about being a small business owner. So tell us a bit more about your story running up to your time serving in the state assembly.
Sure. So my story in Wisconsin politics really starts in 2011 when my family had it with divide and conquer politics, with the Republican lawmakers who had sworn to serve their constituents, staring down their constituents and using divide and conquer techniques against them. And so we went to the Capitol in 2011 with our two very small children to really reject divide and conquer politics and fight back for the full funding of our schools and the dignity of work and workers. And so that was 2011, and we worked and we worked and we worked. And we were not able to increase that school funding to the degree that it needed. Like that we needed. And so in 2018, I really ran as a mom who wanted to see better school funding for my kids. I wanted to see an end to gun violence. I didn't want to see my kids in gun violence trainings in their classrooms. And I wanted affordable health care for every Wisconsinite. I know what it's like to not have much money and to have an EpiPen suddenly increase by $100 without notice. And so for me, it was fully funding the public schools, how we treat workers, what do our medications cost? Are they affordable? Ending gun violence and so on.
So then finally, as we look at 2026, there are a lot of unknowns yet. We're waiting on Governor Evers to make a decision. We don't know, the impact of, the Trump reconciliation budget, what people are going to say next year versus what Republicans are going to say. You've got a state Supreme Court race that's going to be run before, your own race gets going for legislative seats. So knowing that all of this is still off into the future, what do you think ultimately is going to be the environment of the 2026 election that's going to be successful for you and other Democrats that want to take back control of the legislature?
We're in a situation where we're seeing rising property taxes, right? And I'm very concerned about that because it's pushing like families who can barely afford childcare, then their property taxes go up. How do they stay in their homes? The same is true for our retired population. Are we pushing are the Republicans and the policies that they're passing at the state, the taxes that they're putting on people, the cycle of school referendums, pushing seniors out of their homes? So at every generation right now, I'm concerned about housing costs. And I think that is probably going to play in, seeing as the state budget that was just passed is very likely to have cause some property tax increases. So I think there's, that'll be a reality for people. And then beyond that, I mean, the way I have always run campaigns is is, what are our shared values? What do we have in common that we care about? What is the common ground that we can find that serves the common good? What are we going to fight for? I'm not in politics for what we're going to fight against or who we're going to fight against. What are we fighting for? What do we care about? What makes this worth it? And you know, the community usually speaks loudly. I mean, I've been consistent in my politics. It's fully funding the public schools. It's healthcare. It's ending gun violence. These are things that people, that's why they work so hard to volunteer on campaigns. They want this change in the world.
State Representative Robin Vining, a candidate for state Senate. Robin, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks so much for having me.
And one comment to share on YouTube, Alicia writes, side note, a friend of mine just bought EpiPens for their two kids, over $700 for four EpiPens. Again, the kind of thing that the Biden administration was fighting against, and you're not seeing that kind of fight now at all. Let's return to our Week in Review panel, Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze, Jim Santel. And
went sideways.
And yeah, what happened, Jennifer? You went sideways on us.
I don't know. I'm going to go out and come back in and see if I can fix it.
That's fine. That's fine. No, go out and come back in. Turn it off. Turn it on again. That's all right. Mark, Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden was mentioned up high in a New York Times article about the way that suddenly all these congressional Republicans had to go from release the Epstein files, release the Epstein files, to, well, I trust Donald Trump if he says that they don't need to be released. Tell me your evaluation of the coverage of something that seems so blatantly hypocritical. How did folks do reporting that this week?
Well, I think they did a fairly good job. I mean, you know, the same thing was true of the Ukraine funding. You know, suddenly when Trump gets, you know, angry at Putin for temporarily, at least, suddenly, you know, all these Republicans who didn't want to fund Ukraine now want to. So or arm them, at least. Mm-hmm. So the Republicans are not consistent, and they don't hold themselves to any standards of consistency. In fact, people who study dictatorships and tyranny and fascism note that. They note that sometimes inconsistency is even a test of loyalty, you know, to where, you know, if you have your tyrant says something and then the next day they say something exactly opposite and everyone moves with them, that's a test of loyalty. So it seems absurd that members of Congress would say one thing one day and the exact opposite the next. But that's the way this kind of cult of personality works.
Jennifer, when it's such a pivot, and journalists, you know, should they be rather explicit about it, or do they use kind of couching their language that, you know, what he says appears to be at odds with, you know, what was said, blah blah blah? It's how do you feel about the way reporters go into something
so
blatant?
Which side of that would I weigh in on? You know, I think Josh Hawley is a perfect example of how the press did a pretty good job of handling his flip-flop. You should call it out. The guy that voted in favor of this bill last week today is introducing a bill to undo it. You know, just say what happened. But you have to say it, and you can't bury it in the story.
No, absolutely not. And Jim Santel, as you look at this as well, and I've only got a couple of seconds here, but I have to think you've been in a court case where it appears they contradict their own story, and you're almost like, I can't wait to jump on this.
Yes, sir. and what playing the media does well is just, you don't even have to talk about it, juxtapose what you have said on tape yesterday with what you're saying this morning, and let the American public come to their own headline about those things. Donald Trump, this is a perfect example, not only of being inconsistent, but being again, responding to what's in the wind and what's in his interest.
A local update is next for some of you. Others will continue our panel discussion here live from Lake Wissota on these mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Experience Northern Wisconsin this season and book your vacation at Lena's Northern Pines Resort on beautiful Butternut Lake in Butternut, Wisconsin. This quaint resort has it all. A full-service resort and restaurant, open year-round for all your seasons, from ATVing to snowmobiling, grouse hunting, deer hunting, and even ice fishing. Or just come to relax with the whole family. And there's also an event space for that perfect occasion that you might be celebrating. Butternut Lake is a 1,000 plus acre Class A musky lake, along with walleye, crappie, perch, and panfish that the kids love to catch. It's perfect for escaping the hustle and bustle of the city. Check your next adventure out today. Go to northernpines.net. www.northernpines.net.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Compared to last year, because we... I have difficulty getting to Wisconsin Rapids these days because I live in Pittsville, mm-hmm. and Highway 73 is closed.
Appreciate you making the trip.
Well, when I knew I was aiming kind of the southern end of Rapids today for WFHR, I came in through the Cranberry Country. But normally I'd be veering north, so I get to see lots of different crop situations. Up in that heavy country in the northern part of the county, not everyone is saying, gosh, is this wonderful this year, because it's been really, really wet. I don't know if you mow your lawn, you might have noticed that the grass is growing really, really well.
Yeah.
Even here on the sandy soil. So that's kind of it. If you're a lawnmower, if you're mowing all the time, that's a good sign for plant growth, because there's a lot of water near the surface. But people trying to make hay, people trying to do tillage, that's when it says 4.6 days suitable for work. That the normal hindrance is it's raining, and then on our heavy soils, it takes days after a rain event before it gets dry enough to go back out. So it's on the wettish side, but crops in general are doing pretty well. It wasn't really wet early in May, so the crops got in roughly when they were supposed to get in. And we've had some pretty warm days, which have been stressful on our cattle, but not too many. So in general, the start of the year, and the nice keep on saying last year was also a very wet year, and the crops actually didn't get in. So it's better than that.
Yeah, yeah, which is certainly a big part of not only that industry, but business in general perspective. That goes a long way, just in general. Matt, I wanted to wrap up talking a little bit about the state budget that just passed. We're going to be talking about, we have Senator Testen in tomorrow. I'll be talking with him quite a bit about this as well. But I couldn't resist the opportunity to talk to both of you in back-to-back days regarding especially your industry and where you're coming from, why you're joining us here and everything, and representing the ag industry as much as you do at UW. And then, again, another article coming from Wisconsin Ag Connection for journalists. A shout-out to Blake Jackson for the reporting. And just so you know where I'm pulling my main facts from and information from, the budget passed. And we had this quote from Michelle Ramirez-White, the government relations director for Wisconsin's Farmers Union. Quote, Wisconsin Farmers Union appreciates that lawmakers came together to pass a budget that reflects input from both sides of the aisle. There are several meaningful wins for here for family farmers, but also some disappointing losses. Have you had a chance to look at this, hear about the budget, Matt? And is there any feedback, any comments you have on it?
So Senator Testen actually came to our farm. We hosted a dairy breakfast in June and had a chance to visit with him. And he is actually on the finance committee, I think. So yeah. Very influential in doing that. And when he's talked about a compromise, the Farmers Union press release there. In Wisconsin, it definitely has to be a compromise because we have a Governor Evers is a Democrat, and the both divisions of the Assembly and Senate are Republicans. And so they have to compromise, right? There's yep. not a choice.
That's, yeah.
And so I don't think agriculture... made the headlines so much as far as the Farmers Union saying they were disappointed in some things. Certainly the institution I work at the University of Wisconsin, is about the same week that the big, beautiful bill was yes. passed federally. And so that has pretty severe implications for extension, USDA, universities, and so there's a lot of uncertain, well, it's becoming more certain that there's budget cuts happening in that system. Mm-hmm. But the UW at the state level, it was bantered about just widely big millions of dollars cuts to higher education, the UW being part of that, or increases. Mm-hmm. And they actually got some increases.
Yeah.
So that was a very much appreciated thing. In agriculture, I'd be curious to see further where the Farmers Union, you know, in agriculture, we have a number of organizations. I belong to some dairy groups, and but the two main lobbying groups are Farmers Union and Farm Bureau, and they would not say that way, but one tends to be... more aligned with the Democrat Party, the Farmers Union, and Farm Bureau is the larger organization. Is farmers tend to be a conservative group, are more affiliated with Farm Bureau. So I don't think that issues in rural areas are things like infrastructure, roads, maintaining roads, and things like that. Maybe some program like this, where's the money come to do this bird flu testing? You know, do we keep our labs open and so forth?
Right.
Yeah.
Just to kind of give more, a little more to this, because I think a strong thing you bring up there, Matt, is that ag didn't get a lot of the attention from this bill or a lot of coverage from it. As far as, and this is hit or miss with the audience. Everything is a case by case basis. As far as on the, assumed win side, major conservation programs receive some much support. They cover crop rebate program, the nitrogen optimization pilot program. They were granted a good amount of money. Those were some ones. Public health and education services, including the UW system, farmers' mental health programs, and free clinics also saw increased funding in some regards and then other not. And on the other side of this, a compromise on child care, which played a key role in finalizing the budget, including $110 million for per child monthly payments. We're seeing differences there. That, you know, we're not everything is coming through.
It's a real mixed bag.
It is. Yes. And that is, you know, I think most people out there, we're all adults. You know how negotiating works. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a little compromise. You're going to get a little this, call it that. But the aftermath of this is where we're really going to figure out where these things end up, right?
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is bowing to pressure over the Jeffrey Epstein files by ordering the attorney general to ask a judge to approve the release of a portion of grand jury testimony in the case. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Releasing grand jury transcripts is a motion in the direction that so many of these critics wanted to see, but it's unclear what it's going to yield or how fast it will yield these things.
The White House has revealed the president is suffering from a vein condition affecting his legs. CBS's Dr. John LaPook.
They said they did an echocardiogram and that was normal. They tested the kidney function. So I think, you know, this condition, chronic venous insufficiency, is very common. It happens in people who are older.
Stephen Colbert says The Late Show is going out of business in May.
Let me tell you, it is a fantastic job. I wish somebody else was getting it.
CBS says the decision to scrap the show after 30 years was purely financial. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah.